Shabbat Shalom.
Again, to everybody. This evening falls, again, the Festival of Tabernacles or Sukkot, and I'm going to give a short summary of what Sukkot is in the Torah. I'll do that quickly now, actually. God commanded during Israel's journey through the wilderness, through Sinai, on their way to the Promised Land at 40 years, that they would observe a festival called Sukkot, which means tabernacles or booths or even mangers. Mangers is probably a more fitting term. A tabernacle is a freestanding, can blow over with the wind sheep pen. Essentially, that's what it is. A tabernacle or a sukkah is a manger, a place where you put your sheep. Specifically, if you were a nomadic shepherd, and you had flocks, and all of a sudden the monsoons and the rains came down, you would have to build some type of makeshift shelter to protect them. Now, God made the children of Israel and all the nations that came up out of Egypt with Israel live in these makeshift homes for 40 years on their way to the land of Israel. And God says to Israel, and when you settle the land, you will observe this festival for 7 days. God specifies different thanksgiving and sacrificial offerings. And here's the thing about tabernacles. It's all about celebration. It's all about celebration. We started the month with Rosh Hashanah, which is, of course, the Day of Judgment. It's also the birthday of the earth. Everyone who came to the bonfire at ours recently heard that it was the birth of the earth festival, which is absolutely what it is. It's the birthday of Adam. It was the birthday of Yeshua. But it's also the Day of Judgment. 10 days later, we had Yom Kippur, which in the Sinai covenant, or under the Sinai covenant rather, is the Day of Atonement, when everybody would fast and there would be a yearly conditional forgiveness of sins. Then, of course, Yeshua was crucified, tearing the veil in the Holy of Holies, so that no longer would one man have to pass through the veil, which is a standard for our sins and our crimes. No priest alone would go into the Holy of Holies to have to ask forgiveness yearly for our sins and try to make peace between the light, our Father, and us. Yeshua ripped that in two so that every single individual now has the right and opportunity to go before God in the holy place, the temple of the temples, the place of the dwelling place of the light. My words can't even express what this place is, and we all know what it is. It's home. We can all return to our Father. We can all return home in peace. This is the difference between those in the New Covenant and those under the Sinai Covenant. Then, of course, after that day, and we've talked about this for everyone who's been here, and I'm rehashing a little bit, but just for the sake of those who weren't here, what is interesting is that you fast and repent, that is under Sinai, 10 days after the Day of Judgment. You're judged already. Then you fast and repent afterwards. Kind of almost doesn't make sense, but as we've discussed before, God knows, and God has a plan of grace and salvation. He makes the decision first because he knows everything that we have done even before it ever existed. He knew us before we even existed. Then you have the Festival of Tabernacles. And what's it about? It's about journeying through this wilderness called our present physical existence, depending upon the spirit and the spiritual realm alone, knowing that this world is impermanent. And I just wrote up here on the board, Sukkot, knowing the imperishable and sharing the imperishable in the impermanent existence. The impermanent world is now. Everything will break down in time. Every tree will die and become dust. The dust will break down again to become atoms. There will be gases created. Everything essentially breaks down. It's not permanent. Every home eventually, if not constantly fixed, will again become the dust of the earth. So we live in an impermanent world, and everything we have here and do now is impermanent. That doesn't mean we shouldn't strive to be successful in our relationships or in business or just in our everyday goings on. They're important. They're part of our life and existence here on earth. But they perish. They will perish, and we know that. That's why we were commanded to live for 7 days in a tabernacle. The Spirit telling us, remember, You're on this journey for 70, 80 years if you're very lucky, and 120 if you're super lucky. It's not forever. So since you're only here for a short amount of time, know me and know why you're here. That's the message. That's the message. And we're told that something very big is going to happen in the literal crossroads of the earth, Jerusalem, at the end of days, that will cause nations to say, we don't want to know you and we're not interested in your purpose for us. We like the permanent. But the permanent is going to be thrown up just as it has every few thousand years when the earth changes on its axis. The north and south pole become the east and west pole. Lands shift and break up. People build civilizations only to see them fall and become native in essence again, primal, moving nomadically with the seasons just to survive upon the earth. That happens. The Yeshua said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head. Had he have said those words to the indigenous peoples of the world, they would have understood him clearly. They had sacred sites and places of significance to them in their history, but they were constantly moving in a cycle. It was the only way to live on the earth, to move with the seasons, to move in the cycle. And spiritually, spiritualism is all they had, which actually solidified their community, so they could move as an entire community or move alone through the wilderness with complete confidence and hope, because everything is perishable. But what they had within was imperishable. It never died. They knew the spiritual realm that kept going. And this is the importance of the Festival of Tabernacles. And this is the importance of the nations who made war against Jerusalem at the end of the age and said, light, we call it God, the Father, but the light, we're not interested. We like this impermanent world here. We want things the way we want them to be. We don't want your interference. We don't want to do or live in the spiritual realm when they would have complete peace and happiness from enlightenment. I have to go through every single civilization to show them all standing up on the hills in ancient times looking for that enlightenment, because they have been doing it forever since the beginning of time, trying to find their way back to the source. We've all done it in history. But at the end of the age, the people, like much like many are today, will be saying, we don't want to know about that. We like the material world. And there's going to be an intervention. And just as it has again in history, played over and over again, the world that we have built up for ourselves will be proved to be perishable. And as a way of driving that home, we're told in the prophet Zechariah that those nations will be called up once a year to the center and crossroads and the heavenly gateway, which is Jerusalem, to observe the Festival of Tabernacles. And any nation that doesn't, that is, except the difference between the perishable and the imperishable, any nation that doesn't will not receive rain. We depend on water to live. People have built cities and towns and actually built in countries like Australia. If you don't have water, you do not survive. Simple as that. If you don't know the truth between the perishable and the imperishable, that is, that which lives forever and that which eventually dies, you're in serious trouble. And humanity has been in serious trouble, because over time we begin to be a little bit too confident and a little bit too comfortable with the worlds that we have created here on earth. I want to go back to the very beginning. I want to go back, not the very beginning, but when we have Noah, and we have the universal flood that's recorded by every ancient people in the world. They knew for generations that the earth, as we knew it, was not a permanent structure. We have the earth, but the world that we live and the way of life that we have can be changed at any time. But Abraham was called in the same mode to be what? A traveler. God said, come with me, travel. Travel to a land that I will show you. And Abraham did it on faith. And it says that he and his sister and wife, Sarah, made souls along the way. They were teaching the imperishable to people, the imperishable sciences, everywhere Abraham went. We have traces of it in ancient Egypt. We have traces of it all over India. We have traces of it throughout the entire Middle East. In fact, what has come from Abraham has shaped the world in one way or another. Even those who didn't stand with the imperishable spiritual beliefs and sciences of Abraham have still changed the world. Karl Marx was a Jew and created communism. There are over 1 billion people who follow communism. There are over 1 billion Catholics on earth. There are almost 1 billion Christians. There are 1 billion Muslims. We're talking now over half the world's population in one way or another have been taught in essence by Abraham. But he was journeying like a nomad, living in the tent, traveling, constantly traveling towards a goal. He didn't really settle that much until the very end of his life did he settle. And we look at his sons, and we look at the Israelites, and we look all the way through history. We look at all the prophets, and we look at all the holy people, and all the priests, and all the disciples, and all the apostles. They were not fixtures. They were constantly traveling because they knew this world was perishable. They had an imperishable teaching, eternal life, spirit, understanding the mind and the heart and the soul and those around you, collective consciousness, the universe, energy, vibration. They had all these understandings given to them by God, by the Spirit. But gave us such a simple message: live in the light, live in peace, have faith, have hope, have goodness. Don't judge, just keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Keep teaching this. And Yeshua said about the leaven, not the leaven of the Pharisees, but his and the yeast working through the dough. The world is changed because people traveling in their own personal tabernacle, that is this body, that's what it is, a tabernacle, a temple. The first temple of God in Sinai was called the tabernacle. They traveled in this temple or this tabernacle teaching the imperishable teaching. And slowly but surely, things are transformed. When I say things, I mean people. You can't change the world. But you can teach people. And if people listen and people are calling for the light, they will have it. But very rarely did any of the apostles or disciples actually sit down with a community that they seeded. They didn't. They kept marching forward. They went out and spread the gospels. The gospel, excuse me. All of them went out and taught, and they converted, and they baptized, and they taught the Spirit of Light. Those people that they touched and spoke to and taught then created communities. They seeded communities as they went, like sowers, like sowing the ground, and they kept moving forward. But they were all connected as one. All connected as one. I know it sounds like something of a paradox, to teach the imperishable, but walking forward. It sounds like walking away. It's not. You teach it. Some people you meet only for a certain amount of time. There's an old saying, not sure whether I like it or not, because sometimes it can hit you in a personal bad way, but I accept it as the truth. People are there for a reason or a season. A reason or a season. If you are connected spiritually with God, with the light, you know this. Humans form attachment. Gosh, the early ecclesia were known, or church were known, just like their fathers, the Essenes, were known for being so close. As they said, Josephus remarked on a peculiar love that they all shared, and a holy one. They said they were peculiarly attached to one another. One would take another by the hand and sit down to eat together. They understood that it was imperishable. The heart still wants something to hold on to here, because that's the nature of flesh. And Adam declared it from the start. For at last, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. That's what he said of Eve. There is a part of us that does crave that attachment and community. And we have that, but we have it spiritually. First and foremost. And I'm going to tell you something. As much as we are attached to those that we love and people in the world, how much we want for the children of humanity, there is coming a day in the future, just as it has many times before in history, where the earth begins to shake and rumble.
A reckoning.
Yeah, the reckoning. I don't look at it as the day of judgment, but it's something that plays out throughout human history. We have a civilization and it disappears. What will you do if you know the path? Something is given to you in the light to say, go this way. But guess what? All those that you knew, all those people there, unless you know how to detach spiritually, accepting the will of God, how are you going to make it through? How did Abraham make it through from it might not seem that Iraq, where he came from, and Israel is too far away, but it is. He walked into the courts of Pharaoh and had his wife taken off him. Same with Isaac when he dealt with the people of Gaza. Same as Jacob when he had to live in Syria under a brutal leadership. So did Daniel, stolen as a child, a stolen generation, and put into King Nebuchadnezzar's palace. He never voted for Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't take part in the kingdoms of the world. But he most certainly taught the imperishable word. He didn't care. What I have is invincible and infinite and eternal. What you have lasts 7 years and then it's finished, if you're lucky. Sounds like a harsh truth, but guess what? It is the spiritual truth, and every single religious text in the world will tell you the same thing. And Sukkot is all about that truth. Traveling through a perishable world with the imperishable truth living within us. It's within us and it is all around us. Now, I'm not saying don't have a family, don't start a community. Absolutely. We love community and family. We're to do that. That's why there are rules for believing marriages and so forth. We can go to Galatians. We can go throughout the entire scripture and we can go to our parents and we can learn. We're meant to do these things as human beings, but we're not to consider that this material world is more important than the spiritual world. Because it's only through the spiritual life and spiritual enlightenment, when we are filled with the light of God's Spirit, do we understand how important it is to be parents, how important it is to take care of others in the community, how important it is to protect the environment around us. Materialism and relying purely upon the material world as some type of foundation stone. Words cannot describe the destructive chaos that comes from this, because the human nature holds on. Greed wants more, starts to destroy, starts to tear apart. It happens all over the world because everyone says, this is ours forever. Every war playing out on this earth is all about that. Maybe politics and agendas, but you wipe out entire sections of our own species and the species of others because of desire for material gain in this world that is perishable is crazy. When you know the imperishable way, you know that we're only travelers, passers-by in this world. You won't take offense at anyone. You won't judge anybody. You treat everyone in peace. You will walk with them with your hand upon their shoulder and your hand in their hand for the time that you are meant to. It's a beautiful journey. It can be. It's rough. We know from the cycle of the scripture every year it can be quite rough. But know that we're only here for a short amount of time to do a specific work until we move on. That is the nature of our existence with God. That is the underlying feature, an element and subject of tabernacles. And that's what will happen at the very end of the age. That is the message that has to be literally drilled home to humanity. This isn't forever. Look for what is forever. Yeshua tells us to store up our riches in heaven. This is exactly what he is talking about. I'm going to conclude this brief message on Sukkot with a verse from Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. Again, I'll say it's Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. Paul says, forgetting what is behind and persevering toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Messiah Yeshua. Forgetting what is behind and simply moving forward in that journey, in the spiritual journey, until we reach our destination, our home again, with the source of all, our Father, and the Spirit of life, his Son, reflected in us, Yeshua. Shabbat Shalom.